Hello and welcome to Diary of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
I'm Andrea.
And this is episode... Did you hear that?
Sponsored by Victus Equities, helping people build wealth and retirement through real estate. Today is Friday, June 12th.
In the year of chaos, 2020. If you're not already following Suburban Hood Moms on Instagram or Facebook, head over and do it now.
You get access to sneak peeks on what's to come, bloopers, upcoming giveaways, and the Hoodlopedia. You never do that in sync with me. Never, never.
Because you're supposed to say access to.
No, I crossed out access to. I'm going to tell you everything I do.
Well, then if you want it to be in sync, Justin Timberlake, you got to fucking tell me.
Only Dave would want it to be in sync because he loves Justin.
He's not an 18-year-old girl.
So
it's hot.
It's very hot. Nikki is dripping.
I'm dying. Not that way. I'm dying of the boob sweats.
It's not very hard for Nikki to get boob sweats anyway because she's blessed.
Even the kids are like, she got the boob sweats.
My son goes, hey, Nini, you got the boob sweats.
I was born with the boob sweats. I'm going to die with the boob sweats.
I always say, God touched her twice. One, two, one, two.
And then he gave me a little bit of lifelong menopause heat.
Because she be sweating all the time.
Antonia tells me last week, Mom, I like Whitney Houston. And I go, do you even know who that is? No, but I hear you say it all the time.
Sweating like Whitney. Oh, R.I.P. Whitney.
R.I.P.
So, because it is so hot, this is about the time of year where we hate living in Arizona.
Every other time, the weather is gorgeous.
We don't mind it. I mean, I probably mind it the most, but right around this time of year, even before the official start of summer, we're done.
Yeah.
So, we start to crave
Halloween, fall weather, cool weather.
So, we decided that we were going to do some ghost stories, and that would kind of help maybe trick our brains into helping us believe that Nikki's boobs aren't dripping with sweat.
They're icicles instead. I cut through glass.
Ice nipples.
So, and we had to record this one during the day because Andrea, she's scared.
I don't like it. I'm not very brave.
She's gung-ho to record this session. And then in the middle of it, she's like, I'm scared.
Just leading up to it, though, I keep waking up in the middle of the night.
Look at the foot of your bed.
Stop it. I'm like, I wake up and then I'm like, oh no. And it's always the time period. It's that time period that... 3 a.m.
We're going to talk about that later.
Every single time. And I wake up and I get my phone and I have to put something on Netflix, like, right away. So I don't wake up Dave on the main.
What if you put the wrong thing on Netflix and it's like the Amityville horror?
First of all, it's my Netflix. It ain't generating any Amityville, nothing.
I can get
into your
Netflix.
Why?
I'm not going to do it. Why? I'm not going to do it. But I need to have that fear in the back of your head.
My eyes are watering. I'm scared. So it's hot, but we have coffee.
Yeah, because Mexicans always got to have coffee.
Shit.
As soon as I get here, my mom's like, Chapo's like, Mija, you want coffee?
I know. Any excuse for Chapo to drink coffee. So.
And she's on liquid restriction.
a little background before we begin. The first set of stories revolves around or takes place in our childhood home.
The Downey House. As everybody calls
it. Yeah, it's called the Downey House. And, you know, growing up there, I guess I should have felt afraid. And at times, I guess I did.
Right. But it was just a normal thing.
Just normal. You just don't think about it. Now, not everyone listening believes in ghosts. We get it. I myself am no longer a major believer. It don't mean I'm not scared.
She just say that so that she can have like more like bravery to not be so scared.
It gives me a little control.
Yeah.
But just because you
control the spirits.
Just home.
She even has a pillow in front of her for protection.
You never know.
Spirits can't get through pillows.
They can't pull down my covers.
Right.
They might.
They do.
Oh, man. Remember on The Others with Nicole Kidman? Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
And he's like, turns around like, I am your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bleh. So now ghosts make you gag too.
Yeah.
I notice in every podcast we gag.
Oh.
Find the gag. It's all porn.
Well.
Sometimes. But yeah, in that house, there was always things happening. But even besides that, there was always stories being told. Mm-hmm. So we were scared, but obviously it wasn't life altering.
It was life altering.
For some.
And for some of us. And some of the stories are a little scary, but there was something about our childhood home. Our parents lived there for just over 30 years, I think. Mm. And most of us were born there.
Not in the house. We weren't that.
Not in the house.
We weren't that messy.
Chapo needed our doctor.
Chapo needed drugs.
Actually, she won't get mad because she never had drugs until you and Mikey.
Uh-huh.
Because she did, like, you know, she went balls to the wall, eh?
She went natural.
She went natural.
With big ass Bobby.
With big ass Bobby.
Oh, poor Chapo. No wonder she's so cranky sometimes.
That's why she mad. We ruined her lady parts.
I guess. For Don't, real,
we
though.
We can't talk about Chapo's lady parts.
She gets mad.
So, the first story that we wanted to bring to you involves me and our youngest brother, Mikey. So he is about 11 years old at the time, and I'm about 21, and he was cleaning his room. I was helping him, and there was a remote control, like the one for his TV, on the floor. So I kind of yelled at him, like, dude, don't leave this on the floor. He was like, I didn't. I picked it up. He puts it back on his...
That was such a good Mikey voice.
on his dresser. So he puts it back up. I turn around, we do something, and the thing's back on the floor. However, I didn't see him put it on his dresser. I'm like, Mikey, I told you, pick this thing up. He's like, oh my gosh, I did. He blamed it on his hamster who was in his little cage. His name was Mr. Miyagi. Not that that's important, but the fact that he had a hamster named Mr. fucking Miyagi, I just can't let that go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He blames it on, oh...
You didn't do not disturb.
I didn't do not disturb. Why did I do that?
Oh my God, you're such a puta.
But I did do not disturb now. So no more messages
we'll
will
keep
disturb
going.
Us. We'll keep going. So he gets upset, blames it on the hamster. And this time he picks it up and puts it on his bookcase. And I don't know, seconds later, the remote is back on the floor. So at this point, Mikey and I are
And it wasn't to get, like just like right there in front. It was like a distance, right?
Yeah, it was like probably a good 5 feet in front of the bookcase. So
that's
at this
longer
point,
than your height.
Oh my God.
I had to.
That's messed up, babe. So, fine. You're ruining my story.
Sorry.
Anyway, so this time I pick it up and he had a futon. It was folded up. So I get the remote control myself and I put it all the way to the crease of the futon because it was folded up in a couch position. Mikey and I turn around to do something. Maybe 30 seconds later, we turn around and look at the floor and the freaking remote is back on the floor.
What you do? What you do?
Freaked the fuck out. We ran to Chapo.
Of course.
Of course. Who is,
You go to Chapo when you have problems with the other world.
You don't go to Chapo when, like, your boyfriend breaks up with you. And you don't go to Chapo when, like,
You're having marital issues.
Yeah, that's not what... You go to Chapo because there's something otherworldly messing with your life, right?
And that's her expertise.
And I'm not quite sure why we always run to Chapo because the answer is usually something like...
What did you do wrong? You were having bad thoughts. You did something bad.
Who are you hanging around with? Yeah, you're not praying enough. And at the time, our grandmother was in the hospital. So I told Mikey, I know who it is. It's our grandfather. And we called him Tata. Okay. And so I remember saying out loud, look, I know it's you and we love you. But you cannot be here. And I keep waiting for him to, like, appear. Like, right in front of me.
He's going to waste his energy on you.
Why are you such a dick right now? It's a boob sweat.
It is. I get hot.
You know what? You need to go wet a towel. Actually, you don't need to wet a towel. You need to get a little washcloth, one under one boob, one under the other.
There's already plenty of moisture in there. Yeah.
You just need to tuck it up under there, or you know
how grow some mushrooms. Saute that shit up.
Wow. So gross.
If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at?
Nikki. If you can't laugh at yourself, you just laugh at Nikki. That's what I do.
Because I don't give a fuck.
So my mom really didn't react in any way. She didn't seem scared. She didn't seem worried about it. She was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, say a prayer. And, you know, that never makes me feel any better because right. I'm dealing with the spirit, like putting remote controls up on the floor.
And I mean, at this point, there had always been little things going on in the house.
Right.
So we knew there was a spirit. We didn't know if it was multiple or if, like, in this case, she thought it was our grandfather.
Well, and the thing is that when things like that began to happen, you kind of immediately get this feeling, just this yucky feeling, but you don't want to, or at least I never wanted to give into it. I wanted to kind of try and explain it away, wish it away.
Because if it's not there, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I mean, I can't tell you how many times like I'd see something, like someone walk down the hall.
Oh yeah, all the time.
I would literally close my eyes and like look away. Like that didn't just
okay.
happen.
Well, your chola ass gangster mother would be sitting there sewing because she was always sewing something.
Right, like right now?
Yeah, she's literally out there sewing right now.
Sewing everyone's stuffed animal.
And like when something would walk by, she would just kind of look over, like real like gangster,
mm-hmm.
and then look back, mm-hmm. and then look over. But she never got up to check because she knew that shit was there.
Yeah. She would know. She'd be like, somebody just, and she sometimes would ask us,
yeah.
did somebody just walk by? And we're like, no one's home. Like, it's just me. Especially if it was just like two of us home.
Yeah.
Like, just yeah. there. And then she would yeah. say, somebody just walked by? Casually. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're gonna ask me all like that and then keep going about your sewing?
Chapo got 6th, 7th, 8th senses, eh?
That's crazy.
So, in that same house, in that same time period, one of our older brothers had been asleep and he had been laying on his side. Now, background to that is, again, Chapo would always patrol the house at night. Checking to, like, feel foreheads to see if somebody had a fever.
Okay, she does this very day. So you guys might not know that Chapo lives with me at my house. Nikki doesn't live with me. But Chapo lives with me.
Nikki's just here a lot.
And she still goes into my kids' rooms at night and checks them. Make sure that they're covered. Just checking for things, right? So she did that for us growing up. So at any given time during the night, we would feel an icy cold hand on our forehead to check, did we have a fever? She was checking if we were covered. I mean, we're already like older.
Yeah.
And she's still doing it.
Yeah. If your door wasn't shut, she'd be in here checking you and Dave.
Because we weren't allowed to have locks on our doors.
Yeah. No locked doors.
No locked doors.
Gracias.
Mom and Dad were the only one. Our parents were the only ones that had a lock on their door.
And it was rarely used. And when it was,
I don't even know if it was rarely used. All I knew is if that door was shut, I want to know why.
Because it took a lot of effort.
I just wanted...
Because there was a lot of shoes hanging on the back of that door.
I just wanted to believe they were like, I don't know. I would have rather they
praying
were like...
Praying together?
Sure, praying.
Yeah. They're saying, oh God, all right.
Oh.
Yes, Dan.
So for this story, our brother is asleep.
So he's asleep. He's laying on his side. And he feels icy cold fingers across his face.
Like caress his face.
And he opens his eyes. And this is one time you want to see Chapo when you open your eyes.
I actually want it to be Chapo.
And it ain't Chapo.
No.
It's a little girl. White, like see-through ghostly white.
Right.
And she's just happily staring
like
at him.
Like dreamily gazing at him with her chin like, resting on the top of her hands.
That's her humanly crush.
And she is just staring at our brother, who didn't hesitate to jump up and scream running across the house to our parents' bedroom for my mom to somehow
figure it out.
Like, she'd come into the room and, oh, it's fine, you were dreaming, or whatever it is she had to say.
And he had multiple experiences with this ghost, but this is kind of how we found out that it was a little girl.
Right. And that became kind of the central point to us naming our ghost. So we ended up naming her. So somebody that was close to our family at the time had suggested that we name our spirit, that spirits want to be acknowledged, that they want to be named. So at this point, we had figured that it was a little girl. For all we knew, there were many spirits in our home. But this one, we kind of figured for sure.
And she kind of was like the most mischievous.
Very,
like,
yeah.
That did stuff.
Kind of childlike, not ever bad. So Nikki chose, you chose it, right?
No, that person suggested it. The
other person suggested the name Amelia Bedelia. And many of you know it is a children's book. It's very well known. And Nikki doesn't remember it, but we did have a book, probably a couple books, in our house. And that's where the name came from. Nikki just liked it because it rhymed. She was little.
I still like it because it rhymes.
I know. I still love the Amelia Bedelia book. So our ghost became known as Amelia Bedelia.
So when things were off and you just knew that it wasn't something you did, it was always like, hey, Amelia Bedelia, stop it. Usually it worked. Now, I was a little dick. I still am a little dick. Now I'm just a big dick. But so our bedroom had a closet. When you walked in, on either side of you were rows of clothes. And then above was a pull string. Like, they can see me gesturing. I know, I'm going to do it. There was a pull string that you would turn the light on and off. And on, it was like a Jack and Jill closet. And then the middle clothes on the other side, there was another door that went out to a different way and a whole other row of clothes.
It was like our own little house of horrors.
It was. Dude, I was scared of that closet sometimes, yeah, especially after this.
Ugh.
And so my mom had said, hey, Nikki, go turn off the light in the closet. You left it on. And I'm like, in my head, like, I know I turned it off, but, you know, maybe you didn't, right? So I go in the closet and I turn it off. Okay. And I come back out. My mom's in the kitchen. Andrew's in the kitchen. We're the only three home. And my mom goes back in that area of the house, not necessarily to check on me at that point.
You don't think so?
No.
Because Chop will always be checking up on us.
No, because she went to go. I think there was that hall closet with the towels and stuff.
Maybe. And so, and from the hallway, you could see into the bedroom. And if the closet door was open, you can tell if the light's on or not. Yeah,
because the doors face each other.
Right.
So Chop comes back into the kitchen and she says, Veronica. And she uses my legal name. My mom in trouble.
Uses your Christian name.
Yeah. So she says, go turn off that light. It's still on. And I'm like, okay, I know I turned it off. So I go in the closet and I turn it off. And you can hear the little clink of the string. So it's off. I know it's off. I come back out. Well, now Chapo's going to go check because now she doesn't believe me. She thinks I'm probably screwing around or being lazy. So Chapo goes over there, comes back. Veronica, you didn't turn off the light. So then I get a stupid and I'm standing in a threshold and I kind of have my hands on the walls and I'm facing Andrea and my mom and I'm like, I turned off the light. I know I turned off the light. It was that stupid Amelia Bedelia and I'm running my mouth and from behind me, I feel somebody push me and I just go a couple feet into the kitchen. And I, like, jump and I, like, turn around and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And Andrea's eyes are all big. Like, what the hell did I just see?
And Chapo just cat, because she was at the kitchen sink at this point, and so her back is to Nikki. And she just kind of turns her head to the side a little bit, doesn't say anything.
And no reaction. She's fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin can learn how to be Stone Cold from Chapo.
Right. She's Stone Cold Chapo.
Stone Cold Chapo.
And doesn't say a word. And I'm, like, sitting there, like, okay, do I need to run?
Call 911. What are they gonna do? Ghostbusters ain't real. Dan Aykroyd, can you come over? So I am scared at this point. And I'm little. I'm probably like, I don't know, 9 maybe?
Yeah, because I'm already older.
And I go and I stand back in that same spot, like a bandeja.
Oh my God, so dumb.
And I am now worked up more. And then so I'm running my mouth more. Stupid Amelia Bedelia, she pushed me and she's messing with the lights and I turned those lights off and I don't know why she wants to get me in trouble. And this time,
dude,
I get pushed. But I get pushed all the way across the kitchen.
She flies across the kitchen. I'm standing right there.
Like, I got goosebumps on my
right
thighs.
Right there next to her and she goes flying across the kitchen. Okay, Chapo's classic reaction. Uh-huh. You see? That's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what you... I'm like, were they in cahoots?
She let me get pumped by a dead girl. The fuck, eh?
Seriously. And nothing... It was so weird after that.
Because I shut up because I was scared.
But the thing is like, there was no, like, overreacting. There was no, like, oh, my God, oh, my God. It was just, you know, Chapo just kind of like, you see, that's what you get. You shouldn't be running your mouth like that. You know, no one told you to go do, you know, say all of that stuff. And then it was like, zip. We said nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I think
I don't even remember the rest of the day.
I don't either. It's like, it just stopped.
It just, yeah, that was it.
Dude, that's freaking me out.
Yeah. So at the time, we had older siblings, and as they would leave, we would kind of like move bedrooms around or switch bedrooms.
We always kind of, it was kind of like musical chairs with the bedrooms. Like, as you got older, you wanted to move farther and farther away from the bedroom down the hall, mom and dad.
But in this instance, we're in the bedroom closest to mom and dad.
We're still closest to mom and dad. And Nikki and I shared a room. And so, again, it's kind of around the same time period. Maybe I'm about 14, 15 years old. And
you're definitely in high school.
It has to be summer. Because I'm up super late reading a book. And I used to be obsessed with Danielle Steele novels. So
that's why she's so slutty now.
My husband had to have a vasectomy.
Because he couldn't handle her.
So I'm reading my book. And it was one of those things where you go to bed late to begin with. And then the time just gets away from you. And Nikki and I had like a day bed with the trundle bed underneath, but we always ended up just sleeping in the same part of the bed because we were chicken.
Because we were scared of our own house.
We were afraid. So Nikki's closest to the wall, and I'm asleep, or I'm right next to her, sitting up in bed, resting.
Because she's a good big sister and let me have the wall for protection.
I know. Why was I so dumb?
I don't know, but thank you.
Remember that.
Go make me some cookies.
After. Okay. Didn't you just punch me before this began? She chased me around the couch in my own house.
There's no video evidence.
And
it never
she
happened.
Punched me. At one point, I stopped running and I just turned my arm to the side and go, just get it over with.
I don't recall.
Just do it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, so I'm reading a book, and at this point, it's got to be around up
the midnight hour.
It's like about 3 o'clock in the morning. And our door isn't shut all the way. It's
because no shut doors.
It's closed, mostly closed. And I could hear somebody in the kitchen, and I assumed it was Chapo. And what was that?
That was me.
Oh my God!
Did I scare you? Sorry.
Sorry, Winnie. I can't do this. I assume that it's Chapo, even though Chapo ain't gonna be in the kitchen at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no,
if anyone was gonna be in the kitchen, it was our dad, and you could hear his footsteps a mile
Chapo
away.
Chapo like her sleep.
Yeah, Chacho.
That's cool. That's her alter ego.
Chacho and Chapo. So I stayed listening, and I hear, you know, pans clanking around in the kitchen, like someone's looking for something.
And our house is dark. Yeah. Like, there weren't night lights. And everything was tile except for, like, the bedrooms and the living room.
Yeah.
So, sound carried.
Yeah, it was marble tile, like, you know, throughout. And I'm listening, and now I hear the water running. And I'm, like, thinking, it's her. Like, who else is going to be at the kitchen sink, you know? But all of a sudden, I started to get very tense. And at this point, I wake up Nikki, and I'm like, wake up. I hear someone in the kitchen. And we're listening
and
together.
And we can hear now together, both awake.
Yeah.
No drugs were involved. No. We're too young. And you hear the clank of, like, the rustling of pots and pans.
And the water running.
And the kitchen sink water come on.
Yeah. And then off. Turn off. And now you can hear footsteps. Now, here's what's weird. We have tile in our house. So if you walked with shoes on, or even if you had bare feet, you would hear footsteps, not shuffle, okay? The tile isn't going to let you, like, give that shuffle, okay?
Now, and the shuffle's important because our Tata that we mentioned in an earlier story.
Our grandfather had already passed away. He had been gone probably about 2 years at this point, but he had a very particular walk. And he shuffled as he got older, his feet kind of... Especially in his slippers.
Yeah, he just shuffled.
They would give those, like, that shuffle sound. Like, slippers on carpet, okay? And that's the sound that we're starting to hear now come closer and closer to our bedroom.
It's like a very long, prolonged anticipation because it's from the kitchen sink, which is about 20 steps or so.
And it's crazy because it's just the same sound.
Yeah. Through the entryway.
Yeah, through the main part of the house. Like all the way leading up.
And you hear it getting closer to the bedroom.
Yeah. And so at this point, I'm thinking, okay, let's just say for shits and grins or whatever.
It's shits and giggles aren't English.
I know, right?
That's me.
You're contagious. That let's
doctor said it's not.
Let's just say that it is Joppa. That it, you know, it sounds nothing like her. You can't hear her walk around the house because she can like.
Oh yeah, homegirl like a ninja.
Oh yeah, you don't even know she's just there.
There she is. I know. With a chancla or a belt in hand.
That's how I got my chola bangs cut off in elementary school. She came around the corner. I didn't hear her. I was teasing them. I wasn't supposed to. Like teasing them up high. She came around. Whoops. She cut them off.
She evil.
Like, I had to go with,
maybe
like, little...
Chuckles the spirit of the house.
Little teeny tiny bangs.
That's embarrassing.
Anyway, so we're expecting to see Chapel come, like, into the room, hoping. And the steps now come, and they lead all the way to the bedroom door.
At this point, we have gotten our bodies all the way under the covers, tucked them in around our bodies on both sides like a burrito.
And we're just kind of, like whimpering very quietly, and The atmosphere is so tense
and thick
that we just can't even move until we just started to scream for Chapel. We ain't gonna scream for our dad because he's not gonna wake up.
He ain't gonna come. He'll even wake up for earthquakes in California.
And so we started screaming for our mother, who comes into the room and like, what is wrong? And we, you know, we tell her right away, and I don't even know if we're crying.
We're not crying, but we're just terrified.
Scared. And again,
calm as fuck.
Yeah. She goes. Okay. So here's some more information about Chapel.
She gangster.
She's not afraid of anything.
No. This is what's funny though. She'll have the house secured down because she's afraid of like people
strangers
trying to break in or
by.
Something.
Right.
But if it comes to like the other realms, homegirl like, whatever. Yeah. I'm afraid.
She'll go walk the house, no flashlight, without turning on a light. She just goes and looks everywhere. You know, where did you see this? And where did you see something standing right here? And like, she'll even go out into like, we lived on kind of a rather large property. And yeah, you know, it was enclosed and we had dogs and everything
but
like
if
that.
The dogs were growling and she looked out the window and didn't see anything. Homegirl would go out there. Nothing. No weapon. No bat.
No. She just walked out and would stand there with her hands on her hips, like looking around, like, who's going to dare to look into our property from this world or another?
And I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I'm not afraid of no ghosts. And that's kind of what it was like. So after we're freaking out, after we're all, you know, oh my gosh, it was this. I don't even remember again.
So she does her round.
Yeah.
And she probably did it all night.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the thing that allowed us to sleep is at that point, she's already a light sleeper. But at that point, she probably kept up an all-night vigil, just constantly checking our bedroom. I think I could hear the TV on in her. And if I heard her TV down the hall on in her room, I think I felt comfort like she's awake.
And she, of course, said, make sure you guys are saying your prayers.
Yeah, say your prayers. So, you know.
And that's really at that point, at that age, that's not the answer you want. That probably is the best answer.
But that's not what you're looking for. You want an answer like, oh, it was me. I was up.
Yeah.
Like, what you heard was me. You know,
but
I'm
she never
sorry.
Even acknowledged. Like, now she will acknowledge the ghosts of the house.
But back
at the
then,
time,
no.
She would, I think she didn't want to scare us more because then she'd be stuck with us in her bed.
Right.
I mean,
seriously. Yes. But, The nights that followed that, Nikki and I, when we were talking about the story, getting ready to tell our stories, the way that we coped with a lot of our fear was to try to make sure that we were in bed before, like our dad would always stay up, especially in the summer. He was a teacher, so he was home. He would stay up watching movies.
But then he would fall asleep on his chair.
So there was comfort in knowing that there was somebody right there and the other just outside.
So there was always a light on and a TV on. And you know that his body is physically right there.
Right. So you just felt that comfort that, well, ghosts aren't going to roam the house if dad's like right
watching
there in the
Jerry
TV
Springer.
Room. So that's kind of how we managed in the days that followed to go to sleep, because we're pretty damn scared for quite a while.
And I mean, for the most part, most experiences in that house weren't like bad. Like, you know, we didn't get hurt. Nobody got sick.
Because even that story wasn't a bad presence. It was just otherworldly and scary. But
life takes turns.
We do have some experiences in that house. And there's other experiences that we have to share from some other people that start to go down a little bit of a darker road.
So this next one, there was other stuff going on that was like high stress within the family.
Right.
And it just so happened our brother's girlfriends would frequently spend the night at our house.
Right.
And, you know, all the girls slept in one room, all the boys slept in another room.
Right. Chapel kept it on the up and
up. She didn't have no teenage pregnancies.
She wasn't having nobody, like boyfriends and girlfriends didn't get to share the rooms or things like that.
And so it was early. I think we just like went to go lay down and like chill.
We had been like up, and our intention was, I think, you know, our dad was probably making dinner, and our intention was to like take a nap or something. Like, we were all tired.
And we had a bunk bed, but again, nobody's going to sleep up top.
No.
So, and our brother's girlfriend at the time was spending the night.
Right.
And so we're all three on the bottom bunk, and I'm on the edge, again, closest to the wall.
They're like queen, it's like the bottom bunk was like a queen size bed, and then the top bunk went into a twin. So that's probably why everyone went to the bottom, because it was
plus nobody wanted to be up top.
Nobody wanted to be up there for
by themselves.
Right.
So I'm closest to the wall, facing the wall.
Right. Again, we let you on the inside.
Uh-huh.
Our brother's girlfriend at the time is lying in between us, and I'm on the outside again. What the hell?
Good big sister. Good big sister.
I'm facing out. And again, like Nikki said, there had been something going on. It was some kind of like high stress, high something. And
it's family business. You don't need to know all that.
No, but I don't even remember myself what was going on. But we were like emotionally, I do remember being emotionally drained.
Everybody.
So just like whatever. And we started to drift off to sleep, but we didn't fall asleep. We were just all very quiet. Nikki said she was praying on her end. I wasn't praying.
And the middle was praying.
The middle was praying. I wasn't praying.
Because she's too cool.
No. I think I was starting to drift off.
Prayers are for the weak.
Prayers are for the devil.
Don't say that.
No. I had to, because I could hear mama.
I'm scared. I hear mama. No, she's mama. You said that.
Anyway, something prompted me to open my eyes, because my eyes had been closed. And I said,
it was like more of a whisper.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we couldn't talk very
well.
All
three of us simultaneously.
And I said, Nikki. And then my brother's girlfriend says, I know, me too. And then Nikki says, can you move? And I'm like, no, I cannot move. So, mind you, we had not been drinking. Nobody was doing drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. We always have to disclaimer that for everybody.
We just have to. Because especially the non-believers are going to be like, this is bullshit.
Well, this is what I'm going to say my part.
Go ahead.
And if you're a non-believer and you're like, these bitches are making up stories so people listen.
Say it.
Just fucking pretend for a minute.
Yeah, just pretend. Follow along with us,
play along.
Because this is...
I'm going to find you. I'm going to punk your ass. Just fucking play along.
She goes to send a million bedillion.
Because we really wouldn't tell them if these weren't our real stories.
Yeah, these are like our real stories. And so none of us can move. And what we start to feel after this was over, we could compare our notes. We started to feel like, and I think one of us said it, it felt like something was hovering just above us.
And we're on the bottom tunk. Oh, my English.
What are you English?
Bottom bunk. And so above us is the top bunk, obviously.
Right.
But there was still some presence.
Yeah.
Just weighing us down.
Like.
That we could not move.
Literally controlling our.
And you know those nightmares when you want to scream and you can't scream and you've lost your voice? We couldn't yell.
We could only talk about this. This is how loud our voice could go.
And that was it. So in this instant, we can't scream for Chapo.
No.
Like protocol called for.
Yeah, our door was shut. We were on the other side of the house. at this point, the farthest room away from where she was. And so I had fallen asleep, or when I went to lie down, I had my phone, my cell phone in my hand. And the last number that I had called was home when we had been out earlier in the day. So I was able to flip up my phone with my thumb, because I had a flip phone. Uh-huh. And
Motorola. Or Razor.
It was Motorola. Oh. And I hit send and to call the house.
But she couldn't move her arm enough to bring her arm to her face.
No, it was
her arm is
stuck
still
under the pillow. So you hear Chapel answer, because they have caller ID. And she's like, Andrea? And we're just like, Mom. And she keeps like, what's going on? And we're just like, Mom. Like, that's as loud as we can go. She hangs up the phone. Chapel comes busted in like the FBI. And all of a sudden, she opens the door and the three of us are now able to sit up.
And there's almost like a gasp. Like you had been drowning. Like,
right. Right.
And we sit up and she's like, whoa. And Andrea didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
I saw it. Chapel saw it. Our brother's girlfriend saw it. That like this white kind of mist. It wasn't like a form of anything. Just mist went past Chapel, around her, and out of the room.
Gone. And we're freaking out. Chapel didn't freak out.
No.
What were you girls doing? What? Like,
what happened?
Yeah.
So we tell her the whole story. And she gives no insight after that.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Not even like to pray, because we were already praying.
Nothing.
That was just it.
It was just kind of like,
dinner's ready.
Yeah. Walked out and she kind of disappeared for a while. So for all I know, who knows what she was doing.
She in the closet doing some tantric Buddha, curandera shit.
And that was it. And we were just kind of like.
And the three of us just kind of looked at each other like, did that fucking happen? Like, you were awake. Yeah, you were awake.
Right.
And
there was no explanation for it. We, to this day, it's not like all three of us were having the same dream.
On the same trip.
And the weird thing is after that, I still wasn't afraid to go back into the room.
Because that's just the house.
Whatever was there or whatever it was, whatever had happened, it was just.
Well, too, we never like had to sleep alone. I think maybe if we had to sleep in like our own rooms, people get to.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Own room.
Yeah. But, you know, it was always multiples.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But that was that one. So, this now leads into Nikki's weirdness.
That's rude.
That's true.
So, I have always had horrible nightmares.
Nikki doesn't have nightmares. She has night terrors.
Yes. And so, even in marriage, my husband.
And you became Zach's night terror.
Yeah, I'm his life terror. Even in marriage, he'll wake me up like, babe, wake up. Because he says I'm like making weird sounds and crying and yelling and all crazy shit in my sleep.
And then there's the sounds you make after sex.
Make me a sandwich. And so this instance, I was little. Because our middle brother was in high school, so you were younger than him. I was in grade school.
Be in high school too, or I might be in elementary school.
And I had a nightmare about the devil. And Nikki and devil nightmares are pretty frequent.
Blech.
Lesser as I've gotten older. But they always terrified me, and he always was like kind of like a hybrid between the devil and oh my gosh. What? Freddy Krueger. Like Freddy Krueger skin, not Freddy Krueger nails.
I'm still scared of Freddy Krueger.
Me too. I can't handle him.
1, 2, Freddy's coming.
That's what I did to you last week.
And why am I singing it when tonight I'm going to wake up and I'm going to hear that song in my head?
Yep.
Oh.
And so I had this dream, and it was me and Andrea and our older brother was there.
Why am I in the dream?
No, not in the dream. In real life.
Okay, I don't want no devil.
And I have this dream that I'm hiding in like a little playhouse and I'm pulling the door shut to hold it shut so that the devil can't get me. And as the devil reaches to open that door, because I'm holding like through one of those like windows on a door.
Yeah.
He touches my, like our skin touches.
Oh, hell no.
And I get burnt. And I wake up, and you and our brother are there, and I'm like, ah! And remember, I had that burn on my finger.
Burn. Now, I rationalize it that you somehow bit yourself or something in your sleep. Bites
look like burns.
You never know. But this bitch over here had a full-on freaking injury on the same finger, but she felt the devil touch her.
Yeah. And I also will get, like, sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And
that, similar to the other dream, the other experience that we just told you, but
I wonder if that's because of that now that we said that.
Maybe.
But so I will experience a night terror, and sometimes if Zach hasn't woken me up, I will wake up in complete sleep paralysis, and I'm surprised I haven't had a heart attack, honestly, because I get so scared, because I believe.
I don't.
Not everybody believes. I believe. So the fact that I believe and then I have these night terrors and the sleep paralysis, I'm done.
Now, there's significance in the 3 a.m. hour. It's not just like something we made up. And it's really something I didn't know about until fairly recently, maybe the last 5 years. And maybe some of you guys have known it. I, however, did not. So I wanted to do just a little bit of research on it just so that we could have some facts. So I first went to Urban Dictionary, not because it's like the source of all sources, but just to see, like, what do they say about it?
Well, hood and urban go hand in hand.
Hood and urban, they urban, we hood, so there. So the hour between 3 and 4 a.m. is when the physical realm and the spiritual realm is the thinnest, which makes it easier for beings such as angels, ghosts, and demons to enter the physical realm. Then I wanted to go to the spiritual side and see if religion has anything to say about it. So, according to Catholic.com, church teachings say nothing about 3 a.m. However, also on Catholic.com, popular culture, it has become known as the devil's hour. Well, so, gospel.
When we were both looking at it, and then one of that weird, funky site, that Quora.
Quora. But I had to look up the pronunciation of the upside down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That in Western Christian tradition, that there's the absence of prayer during those hours.
Right. And so, also, in gospel tradition, it reports that Jesus died at 3 p.m. And so, because the devil likes to mock God, the inverse hour is 3 a.m. And that's the time that the devil often chooses to manifest most forcefully. So, then there was all kinds of other references to 3 a.m. I mean, in like Wiccan writings, in other Christian denominations, like 3 a.m. keeps popping up. Some of them have it as 3 to 5.
Yeah, so with that one, it's the well-documented and recognized phenomenon.
Right.
In hospitals and hospices and nursing homes that people die between the 3 and 5 a.m. hour. And it could be because their immune system's weakest at that time.
Right. They could be that their cycle of sleep is when they are closest to death. But whatever the case may be, there is significance to 3 a.m. Now, I found that out after what caught my attention with that is I often will wake up at 3 a.m.
And a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. Now, there are causes that you could look to. So there's like insomnia. There is
whatever your body's sleep cycle is.
Right. So sleep onset means that you just have trouble falling asleep. Whereas sleep maintenance is you wake up in the middle of the night because you're just done sleeping. So if you go to bed at 10 p.m., you could just be done sleeping by 3 a.m. I don't know. I just wanted to find all the possibilities because my ass keeps waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, there's an absence of prayer. So yeah. I'm going to pray for all the souls.
Because since last week and we've been looking this up, and either I'm going to bed at 3 a.m. lately or she's waking up.
Yeah.
We both just start praying right now at 3 a.m.
Or I get my cell phone and I put Netflix on and I put on a nice happy movie that I can try and fall back asleep to because my ass is scared. And I don't like it. So that's the 3 a.m. Significance. Now, it's funny because we talk about Chapel a lot. I mean, she is the mainstay, obviously. But when it comes to stuff like this, you know, Chapel is just scary. So she's not in any way like a psychic or anything like that. She'll never talk about it. I think that she has, personally, I think she has like lineage in her of like, curanderas, which is
a healer.
The healer.
And they use both religion and like native nature. Yeah, native, that's the word.
Yeah, native rituals. It's usually through prayer and massages and...
Or prayer and, like, sanitizing, like, herb, like, right. to sanitize the air.
Right. Which is different from a bruja, which is a witch. Witches use incantations and spells to cause harm to others. Now, our mother doesn't do any of that stuff. She doesn't use herbs. We've never burned sage in our house. We've never... we weren't ever allowed to have...
But like, there was always holy water.
Always holy water. We were never allowed to have Ouija boards or play with tarot cards or anything like that. I think he likes to say tarot cards. none of that stuff was ever present in our homes. But Chapo has a very interesting way of viewing what's not, what we can't see. She seems to be able to, I don't know, see it, feel it, commune with it.
I don't know. You don't believe.
I don't. It scares me.
Now, Chapo has been scared before.
Yes.
And we're just going to, like, touch it real quick.
touch it.
Just a tippy. So, when Chapo was newly married still, she was still new when he was born.
Yeah.
And our oldest brother was born.
He was a baby.
She was by himself with him.
And by herself with him. You said by himself with him.
Fuck you. She was alone with the baby, motherfucker. And it was in the same, not at the Downey house, but this all happened to her in the same house. And she was holding him, and on three different instances in that same bedroom, in that same house, she felt a touch on her shoulder.
Yep.
She felt she had fallen asleep another time with her arm hanging over the edge of the bed. And somebody touched her hand, which is why Chapo has scarred us for life.
We'll get to that.
And none of us sleep with our hands hanging over the edge.
We'll get to that.
And the third time was she thought that our dad had come home from work because she heard the door open.
Right.
Nobody was there. And she's laying down in the bed and she feels a pressure on the bed.
Right.
And so she's kind of waiting. And then she feels that pressure straddle her. So homegirl's freaking out like something's going to happen to her. And she's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So she, you know, she musters up her courage. She pops up and yells, ah! And there's nobody there.
Nobody there.
So and she said, though, that she left with the baby.
For 3 weeks, she said she wouldn't ever stay there alone.
She was at my grandparents'.
She would not come home until our dad was already home from work. She would go to my grandparents' house, pack up the baby, and head over. So as far as her getting her hand caressed, to this day, none of us, I can't speak for everybody. I know you and I for sure, Mikey.
The girls.
Yeah. I don't know if Mikey's in that or not, but, and I can't speak for my other two brothers, but we don't sleep with our foot or our hands hanging off the side of the bed.
No, it took me into adulthood to be able to sleep with my legs still on the bed, but uncovered because I'm hot.
And it drives me crazy because Dave.
Fucking Dave.
He sleeps with his whole side, like he's trying to get away.
It's like half his body, like he's a dead corpse.
Yeah, like he's trying to make a run for it. Half of his body hangs out of the bed. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm hot. I'm like, but somebody's going to come and get you and drag you and put you under the bed.
And he's like, huh?
And he's like,
but
what?
He wasn't traumatized by Chapo saying, don't have your arm or leg hanging out. Something's going to grab you. Who the fuck says that to the kids?
Chapo. We don't say that to our kids because, A, I don't want them coming up in my
room. That's exactly why. I don't,
I'm like, you are totally safe.
Nothing will grab you.
Nothing. You're fine. Because that shit scarred us.
On the same topic of Chapo being scary, I moved to Texas for a little bit. And when I first got there, I had called her. I had been there a couple weeks and I had called her and I was like, Mom, I'm not sleeping at night. I feel like there's always something or someone like watching me and I can't rest. And I just feel this presence and this uneasiness. And I had a trip to Chicago coming up. So she says, let me know when you're at the airport, which was a weird answer. I wasn't looking for that answer. Again, let me know when you're at the airport and make sure you say your prayers. Okay. Said a lot of rosaries.
Yeah.
And okay, fine. So I tell her when I'm at the airport on the way to Chicago. I go to Chicago. I work my convention. I come back from Chicago.
Was it the porn convention?
That was in LA.
Okay.
I didn't work a porn convention. There's a lot of strangers on here.
Go ahead.
And I get back and I call her when I'm back in San Antonio. And she says, how are you sleeping? I'm like, fine. And she says, You still feel like something's watching you? No. Do you still feel an uneasy presence? No. And then this woman says, because you left it at the airport.
Who the hell says that?
And that was it. So when we're planning this, we call Chapo out of her lair and we're like, Mom. And she says, she gets this smirk on her face. And
like she doesn't want to smile, but she's smiling.
And we're like, what did you do? And she goes, nothing. And Andrea jumps in. She's like, no, Mom, like how, what you wanted to know about the airport. That's significant. Like what happened? She goes, she left it at the airport.
I'm like, how did you know?
And homegirl ain't really, she ain't giving her secrets.
She still didn't say.
She done got six kids, gave that away, but she ain't giving her secrets.
She still didn't tell us. And she's not going to either. She will take that with her to her grave.
So this, we're going to end on a good one.
No. Oh, yeah. Two. There's two back to back.
Okay.
So this first one was actually told to me by an acquaintance. And at the time, this person was discerning the priesthood.
We're going to call this person Davey.
Yeah. Davey. Okay. So whenever an exorcism is going to be performed, first of all, only there, at least if you're called, if somebody calls upon a Catholic priest. I don't know what other religions do. I don't know what other, there's a lot of cleansing rituals in like Native American culture. I don't know how people, other people do it.
We can but only speak for what we know.
We can only speak on what we know. And so for Catholics, there's a very select group of priests that are allowed to perform exorcisms. And this is all documented. This isn't made up. You can always go online. You can find movies such as The Rite or The Exorcist or The Exorcism of Emily Rose. All of those movies are based off of true stories. So this person was in the process of becoming a priest. And a priest that he was working with was called to perform an exorcism. I don't know why I'm talking about this. There's nothing I hate more than talking about exorcisms.
And exorcisms aren't easy to get.
No.
Like the church does.
There's an entire protocol. Criteria. Like they have to rule out mental illness. Like a family member can't call and say, you need to, you know, pray the gay out of my son.
We need to exorcise your coochie.
Right. I think it would meet the criteria. You can't just call for stupid shit like that. They have to rule out all kinds of things in order for it even to be considered. So if a priest is coming to perform an exorcism, there's some pretty serious shit happening. And there's evidence that they have to gather. They have to witness it taking place. So
I don't even want to be there for that shit.
Hell no. So this person was accompanying the exorcist to go into this house to perform the exorcism. They are still outside, leaving the car upon like approaching the home. They haven't even made it inside. And this person, who we have named Davey in honor of my husband,
fucking Dave,
he hears,
the priest heard it too.
I can't remember, is that the story initially? I can't remember.
They both hear
in this type of a voice. They hear Davey, long and drawn out, and then they kind of stop, and again Davey. The priest stops and says, you need to leave. Don't take one more step. Go and send somebody else. I will wait. Because they can't go in, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
They can't go in alone. And they think there's other people there praying over the priest as the priest performs the exorcism. So he said, the person that told me this story.
There can't be doubt.
No, there can't be any doubt in your life. You can't harbor any.
Yeah, you can't have doubt in your faith. You can't have doubt in God. You can't have doubt in the devil.
You can't.
Which people struggle with that one.
Right. You can't even have like any like dirty like secrets in your life, because the theory is that when it comes to the devil and evil spirits, they are attracted. They find a gateway in any entrance that they can find into a person's soul. That's what they'll use. Even if something traumatic has happened to you and you haven't worked through it yet, they can use that as a gateway to enter into your body.
Ugh.
So he stopped. He said it's the most scared he's ever been in his entire life. He actually ended up not becoming a priest.
And he just became a layperson that was a jerk.
Yeah, he's an asshole anyway. But still, that story has always scared the absolute shit out of me. No matter how many times I tell it, no matter how many times I hear it, it freaks me out. The very last story is a Dave story. A real Dave story. So, this takes place back in California. My punk rock skateboarding husband back in the 90s took off with a bunch of friends to the Queen Mary, which is in Long Beach, California. And there's a lot of haunted history surrounding the Queen Mary. And so he and his friends decided that they were going to go and sneak in. And they wanted to see if they could make their way down to the engine room and the swimming pool, because that's where many sightings had happened. So they go over there and they actually end up kind of getting lost. They don't see any ghosts. They don't hear anything.
They weren't even supposed to be
there. Totally like snuck in. Hoodlums. And now he's like in the front underbelly of the boat. I think that's the hull. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I ain't no fucking sailor. Just dressed like one.
Ahoy. Ding, ding.
Hello, sailor.
So they're like, we can't go any further. It's pitch black. He said there's absolutely no light. And they're like, there's nowhere else for them to walk. And they're like, crap, like we're lost and we're stuck. And then all of a sudden, a light turns on and
down the hall.
And there's like a hallway. And so they're like, oh, we can just go right there.
Yeah, because let's just go to the evil. It was pitch black and a light turned on. Let's just go that way.
I know, right? So they go to the light in the distance and it opens up.
And they heard keys right before that, didn't they?
Once they end up out into the hallway, they hear footsteps and keys. And so they're like, shit, it's a maintenance person or it's security. And they're thinking, we're screwed. Like, that's it. Like, we've been caught. And now they realize that they are in what is like sleeping quarters in the boat. Because the boat has been transformed into like a hotel. Like, you have reservations and you can stay there. However, this particular section of the boat was there was nobody staying in any of the rooms. They were all empty. So now they're hiding like from these like keys or whatever. And there's like a stairwell there, kind of exposed. And so some of the guys are like up against a wall and somebody else is like, you know, in this stairwell.
And he said they were all scared, like holding each other's shirts.
Yeah, and they're all just like, oh, because they're like, we're gonna get caught, like right now. They're not thinking anything, any kind of a ghost, nothing. So my husband runs up like a little higher up these stairs to hide, and now he can see the hallway. And what he sees is a little girl about 6 or 7 years old in time era clothing, just walking down the hallway. She never looked at them. She never moved her head. He didn't even hear, like, they couldn't even hear her walking.
And you would hear it on a boat, I would think.
You would think that you would hear something. They just saw her walking, looking straight ahead and just glide, like, just walking down the hall. And then that was it.
Initially, he thought.
So what he thought was that, they're filming something here. There's like, so he's expecting like a camera crew or like a scene. Like, so they kind of not followed her, but I think they kind of went to look around. Like, there's nothing. There's no one around. And now they're freaking scared. They end up meeting up with the rest of their group, who's like, oh, hey, come here. My husband's like, no, I'm done. Like, I'm out.
Dave, don't fuck around.
I mean, you know, in all the years that we've been together, I think that's why we've never been to the Queen Mary. Like, I've been to the Queen Mary, but he and I have never been to the Queen Mary.
His little friend going to find
him. His friend's waiting for him, like, hello, David.
Ew.
Ew, hold my hand.
Ew.
Let's go for a dip in the Pacific Ocean.
Ew, shut the fuck
So I don't know if you guys, if this stuff is scary to you, but to us, this shit's frightening. I mean,
this has been our whole life.
This
though.
Is all the time.
Now, luckily, knock on wood, in Arizona, I haven't had shit.
No, nothing has happened other than the piano playing by itself outside the
stupid
the bedroom.
Kids.
Freaking kids.
But that doesn't mean that we want it to happen.
No, I mean, I actually, you know what's weird? Sometimes I'll go out like to get a drink of water or something like at night and I'm the only one out there and I still find myself walking really, really fast, turning on all the lights,
yep.
getting my water and then like turning off all the lights and hauling ass
yeah.
back to the
Last
room.
Last night I sit up by myself, but guess what?
Uh-huh.
I had a lamp on right next to
uh-huh.
me.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went to go to bed, there's like that little hallway area.
Yep.
I turned that light on, then went and turned off the lamp.
Yeah.
Then turned on my bathroom light. Went back and turned off that hallway light, and
no.
then I just did my whole little thing.
I will tell you what I still feel.
Stop looking behind me because you're freaking me the fuck out.
I know, but the trees are just
okay,
like
stop
swaying.
Doing that.
I'm just the sun's still out.
Yeah.
It's not that late. Now we'll be scared in about an hour. What I still feel, what still happens to me is, and not all the time, but when it is late at night, and sometimes it's not even at night. Sometimes I'm just alone, whenever that may be.
Mm.
I still feel like, yeah, when I go hide in the bathroom, I still feel like I have to move really quickly and then shut the door behind me because I'll get this feeling like there's something just up, like, on my back.
Yeah, that's just how, I think that's how we are.
Yeah.
Because I'm a paranoid freak. Nothing's happened to me here.
Nothing.
And I'm still like, no.
Yeah. The kids, when the kids come next to the bed, like, to wake me up in the middle of the night, or my niece for Nikki. First of all, Antonia looked like the Grudge.
Antonia is the fucking Grudge.
Yeah.
This child will walk. Her bedroom's on the complete opposite end of the house.
Right. Just like
she
kids.
Will walk in complete darkness
oh.
with her nightgown and her hair loose to my doorway. And there's a tiny nightlight, so she's kind of illuminated. And you'll hear, Mommy. And I'll like, Antonia? And then the little shit don't say nothing.
Yeah. She sits there with her hair parted down the middle, hanging in
and
front of her
And if she doesn't
face.
Do it there... Then she's right next to me at my face.
Oh, hell
and
no.
she doesn't say anything. She just kind of touches
oh,
me.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, she's going to get punched in the face one day.
Oh.
And it ain't going to be my fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wake up with a start all the time anyway.
That's true.
It doesn't matter who's waking me up. It doesn't matter if I have dozed off on the couch and my and Chapo's going like, Andrea. And I'm like, what's the matter? What's wrong? Like, that's always just kind of how I wake up. But when my kids come into my room and they are just standing next to my bed and they don't say anything, they just stand there and look down at me and just keep staring until I feel a presence and I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, and it's like, and I'm like, why are you just standing there? And their answer is always, well, I didn't want to scare you. Well, you fucking failed because
shits.
I'm scared. So, I mean, it doesn't take much to freak us out.
No.
But I mean, that's our little pre-Halloween ghost stories edition for you for this week. We just kind of have scared ourselves silly now. And now we're thinking of what scary movie can we watch? I don't like scary movies.
No, I had to stop.
I don't like
them. I used to be able to handle them.
No.
I can't no more.
I will never watch The Exorcist
so,
again.
So here's my rule. And my friends laugh at me because like something will come out when we used to be able to go to movie theaters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my rule is I have to be off. Like I don't have to work. And I need to watch it on my very first day off in the daytime so I can go the next 2 or 3 days awake and scared at night
right.
before I have to get back in a normal life.
The last scary movie I watched, Dad was still alive, and I watched The Rite. Because Mikey made me
See,
watch that.
That movie specifically.
Yeah.
Zach and I used to watch it all the time.
Hell no.
And then just something happened a few years ago. I don't know what it was.
Uh-uh.
I can no longer watch
no.
The Rite.
No, I can't watch it. And when I watched it, both of my parents were there.
Mommy and Daddy
I
for
had
protection.
Mommy and Daddy there for protection. And they thought it was hilarious. I was terrified. And I couldn't sleep forever after that. And that's the last scary, true scary movie. I don't watch Insidious. I ain't about to do any of that stupidity.
I've watched them. I can't handle it.
I can't do it. So now me and Nikki are thinking, what scary movie should we watch? And then that way we can do a podcast on it. So
that may or may not happen. So don't hold us to it.
Yeah.
Because I got big balls, but maybe not that day.
I know, we're up to a challenge. If you're listening to this, now The Exorcist is out. I can't even say it without like stumbling. That's not going to happen. But if there's a movie that you think would, it doesn't take much to scare us.
No.
But if you're listening to this and you want to make a suggestion, slide into Nikki's DMs or our DMs.
It's like, why the guy coming to me?
I know. Well, because you're the one in charge of like all that stuff. So slide into Nikki's DM. It's our DMs. And give us some suggestions there, because I think that I want to do it. I want to try to be brave.
But and disclaimer, and this is really for our younger brother.
Yeah.
If you fucking send me a DM, dude, and there's something that pops out at me, oh, you're no. blocked.
Oh, yeah.
Your mother fucking blocked.
Yeah, yeah. None of that stuff. Because the first time that shit happened, I literally fell out of my chair.
Yeah. You're blocked. You're blocked.
No, none of that.
Not going to happen.
And you know when you're like watching for a long time, like somebody's like just cleaning in the background or someone's driving. It's just a scenic drive. The minute I see that, I don't even watch it. If there's not talking in the first 2 seconds, I ain't even going to watch it.
I'm all for being funny. But you scare me like that, I'm blocking your ass.
Yeah, you're done. You're done.
I don't care if you're a stranger. Your feelings get hurt. Fuck you.
Ugh. So if you would like to hear more from us on this topic, head over to our Instagram or Facebook at Suburban Hood Moms, or you can find us on Twitter at Diary Moms and leave a comment under this podcast thread.
Also, if there's a topic that you want to hear us talk about, slide into our DMs and let us know.
And don't forget to like, share, follow, and comment. So that's all for this week. Now that we're terrified and probably won't sleep for another full freaking week, vaya con Dios, stay safe, and take your vitamins like a good little Hulkamaniac.
Now get the fuck out.
Peace.